We the People. Almost every day, our headlines are dominated by some or the other corruption-related controversy. We are, they say, very angry about systemic corruption. But have we really had a serious conversation about what lies at the root of this corruption? People say and criticize what has come to be called a nexus between big business and big politicians. But is any honest conversation about crony capitalism and the relationship between business people and politicians possible without tackling one fundamental question? Who should fund political parties? Isn't a conflict of interest built into the very system of electoral financing? Let me start with Manish Tiwari, now our Minister of Information and Broadcasting. Manish, there appears to be a contradiction. One, all the political parties who agree on almost nothing else have ganged up to basically say that political parties should be exempt from RTI. Two, you have Rahul Gandhi making the proposal of state funding. You have the group of ministers adopting this proposal. But at the same time, you have a company's bill that talks about private funding. What's going on? Does this government support state funding or does it support private funding, albeit in a more transparent manner?
It's both of them, Barkha, because at the end of the day, one thing that we need to understand is that campaign finance reform and B, how our political processes are funded is something which needs to be fixed.
Needs to be fixed or needs to be totally changed?
Needs to be fixed in the manner that you need to make it more transparent. And it needs to be properly policed also. The regulatory architecture needs to be there. Now, over the past 3 years, you've had these very wide-ranging consultations which have taken place across the country. And there is a lot of input which has come in. A lot of stakeholders have come onto the same page. And but as I understand it, the feedback which has come in so far suggests that it'll have to be a mix. It'll have to be elements of state funding. And there would obviously have to be elements of private funding because, you know, electoral processes, and as somebody who's contested won and lost elections, you know, let me tell you, are not only funded by corporates.
Okay, so how much does it really cost to fight an election?
Well, let me tell you that...
Honest answer. Well, the unofficial answer.
Well, let me tell you, it certainly is not what the prescribed limit is. So, therefore, I think anybody who says that he's fought an election within the prescribed limit is really a superman.
Okay, that's at least honest. So, Dhirendra Kulkarni, you wrote in the Indian Express in your column that the relationship between business people and politicians was fundamentally necessary but frequently flawed. What is the ideal relationship between business and politicians? And if you have a system where most big business houses actually donate to one or the other of really the two big national parties, what space does that leave for smaller parties? What space does that leave for independent candidates?
You know, first of all, it's good that Rahul Gandhi has proposed state funding of elections.
You would support it?
I would certainly support it, but let it be understood here, we should have a historical perspective. You know, the first time in Indian politics, the idea of state funding of elections was proposed by none other than Atal Bihari Vajpayee and Lal Krishna Advaniji in the early 70s. In fact,
and just before Atalji that, made the same point, banned,
Atalji made the same point that Manishji made, but he made it more dramatically. He told all parliamentarians that each one of us begin our parliamentary career by telling a lie to the nation, that we have spent only that much which is prescribed by the Election Commission, which is a lie. So let's create a system where our parliamentarians at least do not have to tell a lie to the nation. And when I say that, it's not just businessmen, but the people in general have a responsibility.
So why
to
why are both the Congress and the BJP opposing coming under the purview of the RTI?
RTI is a revolutionary legislation and it should be comprehensive, and even political parties must be answerable first to the people and also to their own members.
Okay, I think we have some political honesty here. You have two political representatives admitting that what is prescribed as the limit by the government is something that no political candidate actually follows. Let me get in Anil Bairwal, who's of course with the Association of Democratic Reforms. And this is one group that has really been doing pioneering data crunching on actually who donates what to whom and what are some of the unanswered questions. So Anil, what is the big trend that you have found? Apart from the fact, of course, that all major corporates donate to one or the other big political parties.
Yeah, not only major corporates donate to one or the other parties, most corporates actually donate equally or in some proportion to all the parties.
Not to the smaller parties though.
They may donate to a smaller party which is dominant in a particular state.
So it could be the Samajwadi party in Uttar Pradesh, but not necessarily in other states.
That is right. So I think corporates have hedged their bets by making sure that whichever party comes to the power, they are well taken
care of. So it's not an ideological loyalty at all.
Absolutely. If you look at the transparency
of the donations
that is made to these political parties, there is minimal transparency.
How much percentage of donations or of the corpus of the major political parties is undisclosed or unknown in terms of the source of funding?
See, regardless of which party we are talking about, it is hardly between 8 to 10%.
Which
we know that it is coming from a particular place.
So are you saying that 80% of political donations are still unknown to the public?
80 to 90%.
I think, Barkha, there's a need to rationalize that. The law as it stands, you know, lays down that if there is a donation above 20,000 rupees, the name of the donor has to be disclosed. Let us also not forget, you know, that political parties have a huge presence in terms of activists, in terms of sympathizers. Election campaigns of political parties are not only funded by corporates.
Fair enough.
A lot of money actually comes in small donations. You may call it loose change, but there is a critical mass to it because people who sympathize with parties or who are party activists contribute.
Mahatma Gandhi raised money for the Congress and started with Charana. So it's not new in a sense what we're talking about, but transparency is where the heart of the debate lies. Can I bring in Subodh Bhargav? Sir, as somebody who works with the Tatas but also heads CII's task force on electoral reforms, the cynic is going to turn around and say that there is no such thing as a free lunch. So the moment a corporate actually donates to a political party, the corporate is getting something back. There is a quid pro quo written into that equation. So where is the conscience really of corporate India when it handles these questions?
I won't defend the conscience of corporate India. There are problems, but I think we need to look forward how we can correct the system in totality. And I'm delighted you started by saying political funding,
yes,
not election funding. These are two separate issues.
Yes.
And the fact is that in India, we have thought, we have provided for everything except political activity. We assume that party will generate funds from somewhere. I know lakhs are collected and then small slips and receipts are issued in any name or address. So I think...
So you mean parties don't want to take money by check?
No, let me come to that. I think the system needs to be, which is firstly looks at adequacy of funding of the political activity, including election. Second is the transparency.
Yeah.
And third is it has to be accounted money. Hmm. And fourth, there must be equity. No corporate, no HNI should get a leverage by giving X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And CII in its report has suggested something very different. Also, state funding has been talked about. To my mind, it can be done, but the political system has not been able to agree how to distribute that.
Is it practical? Because almost everybody seems to honestly believe it's not practical.
So I think let's go with the basic that we, the people, have to fund the political activity of this country. It is not the corporates, it's not the business, it's not the party member only. So what we have recommended is that we should have a democratic cess, democracy cess, which could be something like 0.02% of the income tax, of the tax liability. Somebody has to pay a tax of 1 lakh on an income of 5 lakhs. He has to pay 200 rupees as democracy cess. Let the taxpayer decide who he should give this money to, which party, which is recognized by the election commission.
It's up to me. I want to
which party I want to give to more than one party.
Okay.
But it must be recognized party in the party's bank account. Take that receipt, attach to my tax return, get a rebate from the tax. If I don't pay 200 receipts from the political system, then I should be given a tax liability of 400
rupees.
So
it's a very interesting idea.
Many people will not be paying the giving to the political party. That can go to the central democracy pool, cesspool. Cesspool. Barkha. Now, whatever party collects in check goes to the government should incentivize it by giving 30% more. And if party says I've collected X amount by cash, but it is transacted and deposited in the bank, not spent out, then that doesn't get 30% or 50% incentive, gets 10% incentive. So I think whatever money is collected, 5 rupees and 10 rupees on the road, let it come back into the white economy. Let us get circulated in the economy.
But can I just get a perspective from Naveen Chawla, as somebody who's headed the Election Commission in the past? Is this workable? My cynicism, of course, is that that we, the people who judge everybody else, are so clever about evading tax ourselves that I can't even imagine that we'd be willing to do this.
Well, you know, I have to begin by saying, Barkha, that the Election Commission, in spite of all its effort, in spite of all its powers, we still have one hand tied behind our back. And I echo what Mr. Kulkarni has said, because Mr. Vajpayee did prepare a paper. And he also then even spoke about fundamental reform coming into legislation. So until we don't have that reform, we are
not saying the Election Commission is not independent, doesn't have enough teeth to take decisions on this?
No, it's got a lot of teeth in the bandobast of elections. Huh. But what tends to happen when funding is collected, I have no issues really with corporate funding or any other funding, as long as that funding is by check and it's transparent and it sees the sunlight. What I'm not
okay with. Isn't that in a way, sorry to just put a contrarian view out there, like buying influence on a policy? Because the moment a corporate donates to a particular party in a particular state, it would seem like the guy who writes the fattest check has the biggest chance of getting his policy in that sector. So there's an inherent problem, sir.
Yes, but we in the Election Commission aren't concerned with that. What I'd like to say is that the corporate funding is usually, I think as Anil said, it's pretty well divided. I mean, don't think that the corporate is only going to give it to you and not give it to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean the Election Commission, I mean the political party. But I'd like to just add one more thing. There are other anomalies already in the system. For example, 20,000 and below is not accountable for. So if I give 19,999, I'm out of the purview, aren't I?
So transparency is moot to you, not so much the source of funding. And I do want to quickly put to the audience before I come to Jaya Jaitley.
The source of funding, if it is not by check,
yes, then it's under the table, is
very much a matter of concern to the Election
Commission. I'm a source of legal accounted for funding. Can I just quickly put to the audience this proposal to have the taxpayer, in a sense, contribute directly? Raise your hands if you think it's a good idea. Well, there are actually many hands
not
going up for it.
I'd just put up mine
also, but with a caveat.
Which is?
I'll come to that.
what's the caveat quickly?
The caveat is state funding plus plus.
Okay, but I'll take this back to the politicians, but you had something to say on this issue of public fund, and then I'll come to Jerry.
Yeah, a central cesspool will not work out because people want to give to a specific party, individuals like us. Okay. All the Election Commission has to do is go to the State Bank Sansad Marg, open accounts, Congress election fund account, BJP election fund account. And now with all this NEFT and electronic transferring happening, you just publicize the bank, the branch number, the account number, and the NEFT code. So anybody, like any one of us, can go into any bank anywhere in the country and transfer the amount.
But I want to take this back to what Manish had said in the beginning, and Jaya Jaitley, if I can get you in before I go back to Sudhindra and Manish, and there was actually, I thought, a much more realistic admission that actually most political parties need a combination, because the Congress in its history, for example, when Gandhi argued about the theory of trusteeship, there was money generated from the Congress worker or the Congress member, but there was also money donated all the time from big business houses, but it was known who those houses were. Now, Jaya Jaitley, speak a little bit to your own experience. You found yourself in the middle of a Tehelka-related sting. You were, in fact, accused of accepting a bribe. Your response was, A, that of course it was entrapment, and B, that you believed that money that you thought was coming the way of your party was going to be used to organize the party's national council. In other words, you saw that money as a political donation. Now, a lot of people here would still say that even if it was for the party, isn't that a problem?
I think we have to go back. You were talking about going forward.
Yeah.
But we go back to the time when elections didn't cost so much. And everybody was a part of the process. We have, in a rather old-fashioned way, at large public meetings, even take around chadars and buckets saying, if you don't want fat cats to fund you, please put your hand in your pocket and give 5 rupees to the party.
Yeah.
And we have collected anything from 60 to 60,000 rupees at a big meeting.
Yeah.
And then that is put in. Of course, you don't know their names, so you just say donation at a public meeting.
Yeah.
the public has got uninvolved and therefore more cynical, because more and more money from corporates is going in for personal interest. I don't see anything wrong in corporates, trade unions, the film industry, the milk producers union, farmers cooperatives, handloom weavers, anybody funding parties that say that they would like to have policies for their benefit. That's the whole point of a contract with between parties and people in a democracy. You say what you stand for, and people who believe in what you stand for support you, and they would like you to come in power.
So you're saying it should be an ideological affiliate, like it should be, as it perhaps would be in the United States of America, that my worldview as a corporate is Republican, my worldview as a corporate is Democrat.
Partly, but in India we don't have two easy divisions like that.
Yeah.
Therefore, it would be policy and not ideology. Particularly in coalitions, you have to have more policy agreements than ideological agreements.
So I support FDI in retail, so I'll back the Congress. I support a robust national security and an increased defense budget, so I'll support the BJP.
That's what honest lobbying and honest support actually stands for. Otherwise, why should you vote because the person looks nice?
Okay, this is... do we vote because the person looks nice? I didn't know.
We do. We tend to talk about how handsome they are or whatever.
I'm sorry. Any names on the handsome politician? No. Okay. More seriously, taking this back to the politicians, and then I'll come to Alok and Nikhil and to Mr. Sridharan. An interesting proposal there from the CII. Let elections in India be citizen funded. Can it work?
Well, Barkha, at the end of the day, if we are so proud of our democracy and that's one thing we tom-tom around the world, I guess everybody has to participate in the funding of that democratic process.
Well, will that give enough money for parties? What
I'm uncomfortable with is that, and this is my personal view, that the tax base of India is fairly narrow.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, you are going to be excluding a lot of people who otherwise, you know, weigh into the system in their own manner. The second thing which I wanted to point out is the nexus, you know, between corporate India and policy making, you know, which you alluded to, that the guy who writes the fattest check, you know, possibly gets the biggest policy benefit. And I think here, the stage where we are, you know, you are increasingly getting into a situation where rules-based capitalism is going to hold the day. Because every policy is ultimately tested on the touchstone of some judicial challenge or the other. So what you will see is a paradigm whereby you will have corporate funding, but essentially that corporate funding is not going to translate into crony capitalism, because the policymaker eventually has to justify it on the Wednesbury principle,
but
on the touchstone of reasonableness.
Then we will be in the situation that we're in now, wherein every donation is a source of controversy, wherein every policy ends up in the courts, and the wrangling and the hand-wringing continues. And Sudhindra Kulkarni, does Jaya Jetli's argument have merit, which is, let corporates participate in the debate around policy making in this country, on which, other than on economic reform, they remain by and large out of the argument. They don't take positions.
We are made to shut up.
By whom?
By the system, by the politics, political leadership.
Big corporate houses are made to shut up.
Whenever corporate has raised a voice, we are told, leave it to us. You stick to economy. The politics of the country, the running of the country is our domain. And I think this is where corporates feel that we are as much a citizen, as much a part of India, and we must have an involvement in that. And what I mentioned on behalf of CII is an equity. All taxpayers have a certain quantum to pay, and they pay as per their choice. They can't pay more.
Okay. Can I come back to you, sir? Because very interesting what you've said. We are made to shut up, belying actually the popular impression that corporates run governments by remote control. I just
behind
come to
the curtain.
Behind the curtain.
In public, we are made to shut up.
In public, okay. Okay, I'll just come to Nikhil.
I think that this kind of hypocrisy should go from our system. But I endorse the suggestion made by Shri Bhargava that there should be a democracy says people have a responsibility to fund, to support the political process. But let me also add here, just one moment.
People who pay income tax in this country, how will that finance any
political process? No, I think it's possible to make...
Instead of 0.02%, let it be 0.05%. Taxpayer is an honest person.
I think
and he will be willing to pay a little more to eliminate corruption.
You know, Barkha, BJP, actually started these small donations in an institutionalized manner when Advaniji became party president in 1996. Ajivan Sahyogi Yojana, 1,000 rupees also by check. and the upper limit was 10,000. Congress is actually a latecomer in accepting the idea of state funding of elections. There was a Dinesh Goswami committee report on electoral reforms, which was resisted by the Congress. Indrajit Gupta committee report on electoral reforms, which was opposed by the Congress.
Actually, Manmohan Singh, if I'm not wrong, was opposed by India. Our Prime Minister was a member of the Indrajit Gupta committee on electoral reform. So just to point, make that point about history.
May I on a lighter
note? Quickly, because I've got several people waiting. Nikhil, can I bring you into the debate? Now, this is... You know, we live in a time where it's easy to be cynical. But I have a feeling that despite the hands that went up in this audience, when it actually comes to contributing to a democracy, says, I don't think people will necessarily deliver unless they feel very strongly about one particular party over the other, which is like being a part of the cadre or a party worker in any case. What is the solution? Because even if there is transparency, as some people have been demanding of corporate donations, it doesn't change the perception that you're buying your way into policy.
One thing we should realize is that it's a very complex issue and there isn't a real solution in the sense that transparency is absolutely essential. So let's move forward by all the parties, early or late comers, saying that yes, we will subject ourselves to all the norms of transparency and right to information as far as money coming in and money going out is concerned.
Yeah.
Their own other issues on policy is different, but at least as far as money is concerned. Second is that won't sort the problem out, and to my mind, neither will a taxpayer's democracy.
Because,
again, it's the moneyed people. And it is buying in one corporate. The reason that they hedge their bets is corporates know that, yes, we have to make sure that whoever is in power does favor us. But corporate India makes sure that they get their way into policy because money is what is dominating the way policy is taken.
But then to Jaya Jethi's point, that therefore come out and support one or the other policy. Make it open, make it transparent.
Yeah, but that's still not enough. Like in the US, you have particular interest groups who are allowed huge tax benefits.
Yeah.
We should not be allowed tax benefits for funding anyone. Yes, it should be transparent. No tax benefit should come out of that. The state should fund elections so that everyone gets a level playing field.
So no tax and exemptions for political donations?
No, it should be something. Why should it be a cess that's for a particular political donation if it comes out of all our funds? If the government of India and the state governments have a certain amount of money that goes, it's all our money. It's every citizen's money, not just the taxpayers and not just the money class. One last thing, Barkha, is I think that we need to also realize that there are, in a country like India, many, many new parties.
Yeah.
And in state funding of elections, if we work out how the details are done, we can make sure that they also have a chance. Today, we are trying to control expenditure and we need to give an equal chance to others so that people whose policies are going to be reflected in ideology.
So Alok, what Nikhil is really saying is no tax exemptions. You can't give people a financial benefit in a sense for making a political donation. That's essentially the argument you're making. So then we're actually, in a sense, back to square one. There are no easy answers. Is it going to be a combination of private, public?
The state can fund, which is all of us giving a democracy sense.
I'm all for it. I'm slightly worried by the fact that the pool of money collected by this election cess is going to be called a cesspool.
A cesspool.
Well, that's what he said, right?
No, he said a democracy cess.
He said cesspool, alas.
You're just playing on words now, but go ahead. It's a good play on the word.
The idea of progressive taxation obviously is very good. And obviously the wealthy pay more tax in a progressive taxation regime. So be it. Let them pay more, but not under a system where their money buys the best government that money can buy. Yes, obviously the wealthy pay more taxes, but the money should be used equitably in the public interest. And I'm afraid I'm worried when, for instance, Jaya Jethi talks about honest lobbying, because honest lobbying in the US has produced precisely the best government that money can buy.
You are saying that you have a problem with declared interest. But if we do not declare interest or you do not declare affiliation for policy, it's going to go on anyway.
He's saying have declared interest, but don't give undue benefit to that.
So no tax exemption.
Right.
No tax exemption.
Can I just say one thing?
And then I've just got...
To my mind, many people, including thousands of corporates, do political donation through check to get rid of otherwise demands, threats, and sort of welcome moves from others.
Yeah.
So I think even irrespective of the policy alignment, I would like to suggest that we need to fund democracy of this country. I am saying
why do you need a tax exemption?
I didn't even say tax exemption. No, I said if you don't pay to a recognized political party, let there be tax penalty.
Yeah.
Okay. And those who pay to the political parties, I'm saying political parties should be incentivized. You declare by check, you get so much more from that political fund, not cesspool.
Mr. Bhargav, purely on an academic note, now suppose if there is a new formation which is coming into, you know, the political process, merely because he's unregistered at this point in time or merely because he's making his presence felt, that does not mean that you should penalize people who are funding it or, you know, or funding that entity.
I think at times the perfection is the enemy of good. So let's try to be practical that we need to move ahead in life. Secondly, the new people, new party, including independent candidate, now if they come into being, they are not barred from collecting funds by check or cash and get that incentive from the government to create a corpus and then move ahead in life.
Can I just get Mr. E. Sridharan from the University of Pennsylvania? You've co-authored a pretty definitive paper on electoral finance, and you're hearing all the divisions in the debate here. And when you were writing your paper, you actually found that a number of people weren't even ready to come and speak on record. This is one of those conversations where the reality is almost always off record, and that's part of the problem. What's the solution, and what did you find while researching your paper?
Well, while researching it, I found most people are willing to speak only off the record.
Yeah.
But I mean, to come back to your question, I mean, let me just put it in a larger global perspective.
Yeah.
There are two broad types of systems. Okay, one is, you can say, laissez-faire minimalist systems like Britain, US, etc., but mostly private funding.
Yeah.
And then there are mostly of the continental European kind, including Scandinavia, which are largely public funding. And within that, there can be, you know, more liberal and more sort of interventionist.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the sense that in some you have state funding, which is allowed not just for elections, but for parties. The parties are allowed to spend it freely on what they want. And there are disclosure rules which can be strict or not. But broadly speaking, there's a trend in Canada, France, Germany and Holland, for example, where the parties are moving away from corporate funding. Either they voluntarily say we won't take corporate funding, we will. And tax rules also encourage, they have tax deductibility like in Canada, in Germany and France, for individual donations and not for corporate donations.
Speaking to what Subodh Bhargav is in a sense arguing that, yeah.
So in some of those countries, like in Germany, France and Holland, there is also public funding. So it's a matching thing. Like in Germany, you have public funding as a matching grant, where the ceiling of public funding is the money that the parties can show that they are independently able to collect. There is independent viability has to be demonstrated.
Jay, you wanted to come in there? Yeah.
You know, a lot of these things are academic, but on a practical nature, this 35 lakhs per candidate is very unrealistic. I personally believe that you can even spend less and you might spend 10 times more. This limit is making a lot of people push money underground, and that underground money
so
is black
money. So you're
saying
to start with change the limit?
Yes. I don't think any of us have one clear answer, but there are five or six things that we have to do. For instance, you talk about taxpayer paying. Why can't everybody who makes an election card pay 5 rupees? And that can go into a fund that funds election funding, the state part, which is common, like having the same stage on the Maidan for every party to use, a certain number of posters and banners paid for. Certain parts can be state funded, which is common to whichever party, that okay, up to 10 lakh posters, we'll give you the money, or the Maidan, or the Shamiana, or the loudspeaker, or the car. But these things that the Election Commission today checks on are laughable, actually, because most of the black money goes into underground things which nobody here is speaking about, like buying a vote bank in a village. This Thekidar will get you these many votes in this village because his caste or his religion is uppermost over there. All kinds of things. Paid news has come out from that. So let's not find simple solutions to this.
So let's not be utopian and put proposals that aren't going to work. But Naveen Chawla, a specific point, raise the caps.
May I weigh in on that? Before you go to Naveen, may I just come in on that?
Yeah.
You know, the difficulty, Barkha, is finding the golden mean. Now, I'll give you a concrete example. You know, let's suppose you have a limit of 40 lakhs. What I am told, this may be completely incorrect, that in the recent assembly elections, in one of my assembly constituencies, one candidate spent 20 crores. So therefore, where do you find the golden mean? I mean, even if you take it from, let's say, 40 lakhs to 1 crore, it is really irrelevant.
That's what I'm saying. How much is enough? You're saying
we'll have to redesign the entire paradigm of electoral funding.
Okay, Naveen, and then I've got to...
There's no gap necessarily at all.
I'd like to make
three or four points here. And I'll make them comprehensively. One is that we've just raised the cap to 40. Now, suppose we make it 80 or 1 yeah. or 5, then what sort of person is coming into parliament? None of us here.
Yeah.
You're only going to get multimillionaires in parliament, and are they truly representing us? Then we will only have an oligarchy in our country, and that's just not on for the rest of the country.
Just
but
second,
I just like to complete.
Yeah, yeah.
The second thing that worries me about this tax business, this whole corporate funding, yeah. for me is a very small slice of what's going on. Do you know that today we have 1,400 parties registered with the Election Commission because the Election Commission has no option but to register them?
Yeah.
1,300 of them never fight an election.
Yeah.
They use this black money or to make it into white. They have no intention of fighting an election. And the poor Election Commission, which is what I say, has one hand behind its back, has not been given the power by successive governments.
Okay, I'm going to hit a break. But Alok, one point to you, because you mentioned America. Now, there, Romney was the richer candidate. His campaign had more money, but he didn't win. So, I mean, do we also make too many assumptions yeah. about the correlation between wealth and yeah. voting? I mean, the people in the end make their choices based on different sets of factors.
They do. On the other hand, Obama wasn't exactly starved. Mm. His campaign wasn't exactly starved. You know.
He collected more money.
I mean, just one last yeah. thing, you know, before you go to your break.
Yeah.
But we should be a little wary of these falsely radical solutions. For instance, you know, if you do away with caps, altogether, then there's no problem. No one is breaking the limit because there is no limit.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you want to eliminate corruption, I have a very radical solution. Eliminate government. There'll be no corruption after that. Because corruption is only through buying policy, right? But that's a falsely radical solution, I'm afraid.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. After the break, we'll talk to somebody who tried to contest an election and found that it didn't work for her. What was the difficulty? Taking your questions and final comments after the break. Welcome back. You're watching We the People, and we're asking perhaps the trickiest question of all. Who should fund political parties? Should it be corporates? Should it be state funding? Or should it be you and me, the citizen? Or does it actually in real life have to be a combination of all three? Now, let's, before we go back to our panel, take a couple of questions from the audience. Yes.
Ideally, it should be you and me, but what is happening with the A, B, C, D, whoever his party is there, it's kind of arrangement which is a profit sharing.
But if there was a public fund and you had to contribute, would you be willing to contribute directly?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Okay, why not is the question. You had a question here, yes?
Yeah. The point of having elections is that the people benefit. Now, if the corporates are funding the elections, they are in turn giving their profits to the government for their policies to be implemented that help the corporates. Now, where are the people? We are left stranded.
So, you feel excluded from this program?
I feel excluded. What am I getting?
Okay. Now, one should also say that while it's fashionable for all of us to complain about politicians, by not voting, we often exclude ourselves. So, I think that point has to be underlined as well. Manish, quick rebuttal there.
What I was saying is that the point this gentleman was making may not be entirely correct because, yeah. you know, policy which is formulated by government is often subject to parliamentary review. So, therefore, it does not essentially translate that if some corporate has influenced policy, that policy will get carried through.
So, you're saying it's not as simple as purchasing a policy off the shelf. Alok, you wanted to come in there?
Unless the corporates have hedged their bets, as we have told they have.
At the end of the day, what is the concern of the politician? The concern of the politician is that he has to go back and get elected. And if he is backing a policy which is arbitrary, which is unpopular, which is unfair, or which is malafide, the possibility of people seeing through that is very great.
Okay,
and I think that acts as a
biggest check. Saying it's too simplistic to say policies, in a sense, can be purchased. But what happens, as I said, to independent candidates? I mean, independent candidates almost never win an election. And independent smaller parties find it very difficult to penetrate the system. Sangeeta Tomar worked with the army.
Yeah.
And you decided to contest an election. And you belong to a forum called Youth for Equality, which was created by a bunch of young people. And Sangeeta, I was reading about it. It was quite interesting. You actually had public selection of candidates. You had retired judges.
The first time in India we had this system, people's candidate. And it's because of that I could contest the election.
How did you raise money for your campaign?
Right. I on my own, from my own pocket, invested around 2 lakh rupees, Achha. Right?
Okay.
The other people, the youngsters who were there, they contributed some money. Now, for me, whatever I'm speaking today is from my little experience. I'm not a politician, but I'm a citizen of India who made an effort to go out to people and give them a chance, because we're in a country called democracy. Every individual sitting here can take a step forward. Why can't we do that? Now, when I was going through that process of election, it was an election where I realized, why do I really need money for?
The QGA, sir.
Exactly. What I realized was, because I have to reach out to people for posters, for meeting people, that's all. We the people, we have to decide. There's something wrong with ek praja ki soch hoti hai. Where this is going wrong, hamari praja ki soch hi galat hai. When I'm going to come to your door as an honest person, sir, I'm contesting this election. Firstly, I'm not fighting.
तो
right?
आप ये कह रही हैं कि प्रजा की जो सोच है
that is to be changed.
One minute, let me understand what you're saying. You're actually saying that it's not so much that you need money to contest, but people, when they vote, tend to not take an independent candidate seriously.
When I come to your door, I say, sir, I'm contesting the election. What do you see? You see the number of people who are accompanying me.
Yeah.
What are you wanting to see? You are trying to see the banners. It's not Mr. Ajay Makkar nor Mr. Goel who wants banner. He'll not be using the next day. It's you who wants to see. It's a dirty picture you want to see. They are showing you the dirty picture what you want to see.
So you're saying,
so my way of thinking is, it's in your hand.
I've understood your point. You're saying people look for that kind of mass mobilization. They measure your influence.
Absolutely.
By how much you're able to display it. Sudhindra.
Our democracy and our political process is excessively monopolized by political parties.
Yeah.
And political parties amongst, you know, internally are not adequately democratic.
Yeah. Yes.
Therefore, we should expand the scope of this debate to not just political funding, but what kind of political and democratic reforms we need to make our democracy more representative, more effective. I believe that the need for political reforms is not just limited to a communist nation like China. We are a democracy, but we are an imperfect democracy. Therefore, we also need political reforms. For example, you know, what happens today is a person very well-meaning, very committed, contests elections, loses. After that, that person has absolutely no role in the political process.
Yeah.
Why so? Yeah. You know, similarly, an organization, a small party like Lok Satta in Andhra Pradesh, for example, has mooted the idea of proportional representation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are very positive, constructive ideas. So what I suggest is they should let there be a basket of all these ideas. Let there be a very sustained debate. And Parliament and all political parties must debate these, and within a time frame must agree
to... But the cynicism is that we do not see political parties...
Political and funding reforms.
Of course, who could disagree with what you've said, but it doesn't happen. Nikhil, give me half a second, and Sridhar, give me half a second of the question.
Has the corporate sector, by contributing to the political war chest, subverting the government in a clandestine manner?
But they're also contributing to the opposition.
But they are subverting the government when it comes to policies.
So, Subodh Bhargav, does the contribution translate into covert support?
I will come to the other question first, to my mind.
Yeah.
It's very important to understand our constituency when you come to an independent election. People get elected as independent when they have created a brand equity because they have done something for the community. To take that across, media has to play a very important role. Don't give only the negative stories. Bring up the good stories. Good work done by somebody like her in her community, and she's capable of doing much more.
But there is a complex arithmetic to political processes that actually has very little to do. My experience of reporting politics is that it is almost impossible for an independent candidate.
I'm talking about reporting community, not politics.
One minute, Sangeeta.
Reporting community, there are lots of people collectively, individually, are doing human work all over the country. We need to bring them up. We need to give them visibility.
So that politics is not a negative word, in a sense.
No, without the political funding. The question is that why good people don't get into politics? The politics must be funded by the party totally, because individual doesn't have the resources to go in.
Can you speak to the American experience, Sridhar, where there's been, it's been the most expensive American election ever this time. It's been the most, what can India learn from that? But you'd have Alok and Nikhil Singh, why do we need to learn from that? We don't like that model.
The main key thing about the American model is disclosure, very strict disclosure rules.
Yeah.
And so that, and here we have under 20,000 rupee thing where you, that is the sort of channel through which you launder unaccounted money, which then you call it small donations.
Yeah.
Actual small donations may not be only, maybe only a small fraction of that. So,
here's my question.
The other thing is,
like we saw in Karnataka, which happened with the Jindals and the Yediyurappa government, mm-hmm. even if you pay by check, even if you pay by check and you account for it, if the politician or the government then ends up in a particular scam, for example, in this case, a mining related scam, then the perception is that even if it's accounted for money, a quid pro quo is alleged.
That has to be done at the governmental side other than the election funding. I mean, if you have corporate funding, which is legal and people give by check, then there have to be systems where you have, you know, policy decisions are made which are not, where you government has to be made, you know, not capturable.
Okay.
Allegation will always remain. But at the end of the day, if the policy is reasonable, you know, it stands the test of the law, then most of this criticism would be met. The problem occurs when there may be a legitimate donation and there's an arbitrary policy.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to start taking last comments now, but I'll take an audience question here.
Yeah, basically, if you look back in 1968, Indira Gandhi basically stopped the corporate funding.
1969, I think.
It was started again in 1985.
Yeah.
The reason why do we need a corporate funding?
So you're saying do away with corporate funding?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you want to add to that?
I don't mind paying on my tax to the political parties. I don't mind even corporate paying. I don't mind even you collect chandas or whatever, 5 rupees, 10 rupees. It's all about disclosure.
I think that's a great point. Nikhil.
Disclosure is a very, very important basic fundamental. We are all agreed on it, but it's not enough. Along with that, we want to reduce the influence of money on elections and on political parties and their decision making.
Absolutely.
So we have to hold people accountable for whatever they are supposed to do under the law. We have a reasonable policy.
Yeah.
We make sure that if anyone violates any of those things, they are taken to book. And then that's our problem. We hold no one accountable. And therefore, we just continue in a fool's paradise of setting out one set of laws.
So you're saying disclosure is not enough. Naveen Chawla, one quick reform that you would propose.
After much deliberation and thought, my view is that we must head towards state funding. Otherwise, those caps will go on and on. And for that, there are models. I'm very happy that both the Congress and the BJP have supported here in your show some form of state funding. I'll end with an example of, say, Mexico. In Mexico, the Election Commission divides airtime, no matter who owns the channels. It divides airtime proportionately. Now, the proportion can be worked out to a parliamentary committee.
So, you're saying there's no option but state funding? The very last audience question here, yes.
We are talking only about the funds which have been flown into the bank accounts of the political parties. There have been the cases where there have been extortion. If you are sponsoring a rath of a rath yatra or a shamiana of some rally of a political party, then that also is also a funding of the political
party. Anil, what's the one thing that the ADR would like to see as a reform? Quickly.
See, one thing we keep forgetting is that although there is this limit of 25 lakhs and everybody says that everybody goes beyond the limit.
Yeah.
But till today, except for one candidate, nobody has been able to catch any of those guys who have
exceeded the limit.
Right. If we have not been able to control this, will we be able to control it after when we bring this state funding? Until we bring more transparency in the political parties, until we are able to control this illegal flow of money that is going on right now, I'm not sure if this will solve the problem. But
got
I'm not
your
getting
point.
That.
Bottom line
to my mind is accountability.
Yeah.
We need to enforce rule of law in this country.
Absolutely.
The people who violate law should be taken to deterrent punishment.
Yeah.
The ill-gotten wealth should be repossessed by the state rather than giving it back to the politicians or anybody. Anybody, whether it's corporate or politicians, if there's an ill-gotten wealth. We need judicial reforms. We need immediate 3 months justice, whether it's the Prime Minister or political leaders.
So punish those who exceed their
spending Absolutely,
limit.
Punish Alok, those severely.
Alok, quickly.
There's a basic ambiguity which I think needs to be named at least right at the end, which is that are we dealing with corporate funding, influence, underground, covert, stuff like that? Is this an aberration of the system?
or do we need to understand the system as a whole? Yeah. In which case, it's not an aberration of the system.
But the normalcy of the
system. It is the system.
Yeah. I think that is important. Jaya, you want to add, and then I'll give Manish and Suthendra quick last words. Yeah.
Well, my quick points would be definitely internal democracy in a party, and along with that, complete audit, both of the donors and of how parties spend their money. We have not mentioned the big elephant in the room, which is that everybody prefers to pay parties in black.
Yeah.
And corporate funding of little check here and there is only whitewashing of some corporates.
Yeah.
But otherwise, most people, you ask them for 1 lakh and they will say, we can give you 2, but it'll be black. Not white.
Table.
So somewhere it's not just the politician in the party, but it's the general person who earns from black deals in land or any other form, not just corporate.
Manish.
In my earlier avatar, in a similar discussion in a think tank, Mr. Rajiv Pratap Rudi and I had agreed on possibly looking at divorcing the legislative and the executive processes. In
so
democracy
will both
faces,
of you agree that political parties should come under RTI?
You know, Barkha, you refer to Mahatma Gandhi raising funds from the people as well as business.
Yes,
business
that was men. His model.
And he ensured that there was transparency and disclosure even for that foreigner that he took from the poorest of the person.
Yeah.
That is the level of transparency and disclosure that we should bring in the political system. And it is possible today in the internet age, it is possible to hold everyone accountable.
So should it be brought under
RTI? Of course it should be brought under.
Both of you sound so reasonable here, yet we have political parties completely stalling this process.
Barkha, the CIC at this point in time
has reserved his judgment,
was seized the matter, and therefore I do not want to second guess. I'm putting the position across, you know, very succinctly, that there should be complete disclosure.
Okay.
There should be transparency.
Okay.
And we should really obviate the need for even an RTI process if we
because
go down that route.
Let that be in any case a fallback. I think if we get
well,
a statement...
Well, in a sense, we can debate that, but you see, the fundamental point is really transparency and disclosure. And so if we have transparency and disclosure, the rest of it becomes really redundant.
Well, here's the point. We have to end...
Music for the Election Commission's ears.
music for the Election Commission's ears. And Nikhil stressing in that home run, political parties under RTI. And here's the thing. We may or may not agree on the inevitability of the influence of money on elections, but at least as citizens, A, we have the right to know who has funded whom and for what reason, and B, we have a duty to be participants in this political system that we love to sit in judgment on, but do very little ourselves to change. With that, we'll end here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.